One thing about me is that I'm mortal, like I'm an organism, which is weird on its own. Like I'm a collection of literal atoms that decided to hang out together for a while and which will eventually be unable to hang out together any longer. And then I will, this is the weirdest part, cease to be. And there's nothing that can be done about that because, like, planets and stars also cease to be. It's a real conundrum, and I'm not going to find my way through it in this advertisement. But we can make life less terrible for those who survive us, and that's why there's life insurance. I have life insurance because the people who are counting on me will be supported after my atoms can no longer hold it together, and Policy Genius is here to make life insurance easier. Policy Genius isn't an insurance company, it's a marketplace where buying insurance is straightforward and affordable. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams, so check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, so listen, we're in Jamaica, cold open. We're in Jamaica right now, we're on vacation, Hank and me, because we're not just brothers on the internet, we're also brothers in real life.
It's pretty cool.
And we're recording this on an iPhone, so apologies for the poor sound quality.
It's gonna sound great.
But we had to run away from our spouses to record it at all.
Yeah, we had to send them to the spa.
I'm not sure that this is how they prefer...
for this to have gone?
For vacations to go.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're going to answer some of your questions, provide you with dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon, but we're going to do it in a little more of a chill way.
Real chill vibes today.
It's more of an easy listening DJ energy.
Like we're surrounded by a bamboo fence.
Which we are.
Imagine that.
I feel like the main thing that those great DJs do to make you feel calm is they extend the last syllable of the phrase.
For a while. Yeah.
All right, what's
John?
Yeah. Yeah,
bud. I want to tell you a story about this morning.
Wait, is this going to be a damn dad joke?
No. So last night, I woke up in the middle of the night in Jamaica in my room because it sounded like someone had knocked a shampoo bottle.
Oh.
In the bathroom off of the thing, and it hit the ground and went doop, doop. And I was like, that. Look, here's the situation. This is what I... Because I'm very tired. I was very tired, and I was like, either that was nothing of importance, or there's a person in my hotel room. In either situation, the right call is to lay here quietly with my eyes closed. Because if...
I do that almost every night.
It's not going to get better if I'm like, what are you doing in here? And so I laid there, and I was actually pretty at peace because I knew there was like a 99.99% chance that it was just something. And then about 20 minutes later, I was still awake because it wasn't that at ease. I was still awake, and I heard the noise again. But this time, it was obviously, because at this point I was awake and not being woken up, a fruit bat dropping a mango on the porch.
Oh, yeah. We had a couple of fruit bats drop a couple things on the porch here too.
Yeah, it was like
there was one in my shoe.
Like eight more times.
Also, just a fruit bat living its absolute best life. Yeah, we've had a great time in Jamaica. Full disclosure, we have had a few drinks today.
Yeah, I've had a half a drink.
I'm having a drink now. It's good.
It's good. It's delicious. John, do you want to answer some questions from our listeners?
You're the one with the questions, buddy.
Yeah,
I can't.
I know. I was asking you if you wanted to do it.
I'm recording. By the way, if you're impressed with the recording quality, I just want you to know it's all me.
John is holding it in his hand so carefully. Like it's a delicate flower.
Do you see that lizard?
Where?
Right over there, man.
He's a big one.
This is great radio.
You see that lizard?
That's straight out of the This American Life School of Audio Description.
Like we're on the back porch too, so and like there's a walkway right behind us. So y'all aren't the only people getting the show.
No,
My name is Maddie, Maddie writes, dear Nick and John, and I'm making hard-boiled eggs for my lunch tomorrow.
Good.
Now that I finished boiling my eggs, I have a pot of hard-boiled egg water left over, and I want to use said egg water to make my coffee, but my mom says this is unacceptable. I believe my idea is efficient, environmentally conscious, and inventive. Plus, I would imagine that the residual calcium in the water from the eggshells could be beneficial.
Wow.
So my question is, can I drink hard-boiled egg water? Yeah. I would generally value your insides, pumpkins and penguins and eggs. Maddie. Maddie, this is so disgusting. It's so disgusting.
So bad, Maddie. It's really bad.
I don't know why.
There's like a lot of other things that you can do with that water. You know, like...
Just put it on the plants.
Exactly. Just water the plant. You think it's that calcium's going to be helpful for you?
You don't want to pour boiling water on the plants, though. It's already hot. So there's three efficiencies.
Okay. Oh, right. The water's already hot. That's part of the. That's part of it. That's part
there's
of
three
it.
Efficiencies. There's the efficiency of you don't have to use any extra water.
Right.
There's the efficiency of you don't have to use any extra heat.
Right.
And there's the efficiency of Maddie's time.
Right. And that actually, the heat one actually is environmentally sensitive. You know, like there is, there's a
yeah,
cost.
It takes a lot of energy to
an
heat
An energy
up water.
Cost to heating up the water that Maddie is going to use for Maddie's coffee.
Now, there's also three costs that Maddie is incurring.
Oh, great. Great. I see you've done some prep work.
Really? I'm not sure what they are yet. We're going to find out.
It's so cost number one.
No, that's the third one. The one you're thinking of now is definitely number three.
No, cost number one is the social cost.
No, that's number three.
No.
You have to save the funniest one for the third one.
It's not the funniest one.
Okay, I'm excited to see where else you go.
The social cost is just like the absolute shock and horror. It's like, I know the social cost.
Yeah, now Maddie's mom knows. But now so does everybody who listens to this podcast.
But it's, you know, it's like when I revealed to the world that I drink or I eat my cereal moistened with water, with tap water.
And now, like, every time you go anywhere, there's people wearing John Green is a Monster cereal water shirts.
No, but, like, it's very similar to the situation Maddie's in, except for the second and third costs, which we haven't gotten to yet, which is that, like, it's a bummer when people look at you with that shock and horror that your mother surely looked at you with. So that's cost number one.
Yeah, so right? I guess, do you know what cost two and three are? I take one?
You take cost two.
Okay, but cost two is there are things... in this water that aren't in the normal water that is used to make coffee. And people who make coffee assume that you're going to have water that's not been used to boil eggs. I don't know what's in there, but I know it's got to have some, like, hydrogen sulfide, which is the egg smell.
Yeah.
And you don't want egg smell in your coffee. Like, you boil eggs, and you do get a little bit of an egg smell, right?
I think you do.
Sometimes there's a crack.
I'll tell you what, Hank. I'm starting to think that Maddie might have a case to make here.
Well, but there's also, like, you know where
is
that
there a
egg,
health concern?
You know one of the main places that egg has been? Because I know where one place every egg has been.
Yeah, I know.
In the cloaca of a chicken.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes they've been, I don't know, you might be British, in which case that hasn't been washed as much.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, we wash them and then you have to refrigerate them because they don't have that protective layer.
Right, but even so...
Yeah,
I don't think you necessarily want to, like, lick raw eggshells, which is essentially what you're doing. I mean, I guess the water's been boiled.
It's been boiled.
So you're licking boiled eggshells.
Yeah.
So that,
I am a little worried about the sanitation.
So we've got some sanitation concerns and some taste-related concerns, which are related to each other, right?
Yeah, like, that's two and three, or did you have a third?
No. That's two. we think so. Number one is people will be horrified. Number two is social cost. It's gross.
Uh-huh.
And then I think number three, hold on, I'm thinking.
He doesn't have it yet.
I did have it earlier, man, but then I got real into your thing about the egg water. Oh, I remember the third cost.
Okay.
And this is a common cost that goes unnoticed a lot of times, is Maddie, if you do this, you're going to have to live with yourself. You know, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to live with yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. But just
you
like,
can't
so it's an internal social cost. Like, we are social beings even absent the judgment of others.
You can't unmake a mistake, Maddie.
But here's the thing. Maybe if you put a bunch of calcium in the egg, in the coffee water, it's better. There's only one way to find out. And maybe Maddie's going to be the only person who knows. Because even if it is better, I'm not doing it. This next question comes from Catherine, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, at a lecture at my university, the professor speaking told an anecdote about how he started a farm a few years ago. As a way to encourage us that everyone fails, he told us that his major farming failure was that 3 months after getting his animals, all of his chickens were dead because the cows ate them. I thought he was kidding because cows definitely don't eat chickens, right? But he seemed serious, and when I Googled it, there's a story about a cow named Lal who ate 48 chickens. I was taught in elementary school that cows are herbivores. Was I lied to? Are cows actually full of bloodlust and coming for us in the night? Check out of the bed for hungry cows. Catherine."
Well, bulls are definitely coming for us all the time. Like, if you ever are near a bull, you're like, oh, you're not chill at all. You're not being cool about this situation in the least.
I thought you were a cow.
So there's that. But I also think, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, Hank, but am I correct in assuming that while cows don't usually eat animals, they still can kill them?
Not only do they do that, but cows are always eating animals. They're just usually very small. So cows, just like chickens, will eat bugs. They eat bugs all the time, and I think that they even intentionally eat bugs sometime. Eating a lot of meat can be bad for a cow.
Sure.
But almost all herbivores eat meat, and this is relatively recent. So if you don't feel like this didn't like hit your schooling, it's not necessarily because you were lied to. It may be because we didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
But like, as we have continued to study, like, animals like a deer, like we'll see, like, well, it, you know, there's it takes a lot of time to sort of observe every moment of a deer's life, but now we see that deer will sort of preferentially like go to bird nests and eat baby chicks in the nest.
Really?
And you're like, that's a deer.
That's not cool.
That's like that's like monster behavior.
Yeah. But I haven't heard anything that messed up since Maddie wanted to make coffee out of her egg water.
So next time you watch Bambi and you're so choked up about all this business,
just remember
Bambi's mama
was a monster.
Maybe deserved what was coming to her.
Yeah, just like the rest of us.
I don't know. I hope people don't get mad at me for that.
What?
It was a joke.
Okay, I don't... You're worried about getting canceled for that one?
Because people Bambi's mama.
That doesn't feel like the one. That doesn't feel like the one.
That's not the one?
No, I mean, it's coming, for sure, but that's not it.
And I think that that cow feed even contains some meat and bone meal.
Okay, great.
So,
what's our next question?
Always learning.
Yeah,
And watch out, especially if you're a chicken.
Fear the herbivores.
Fear the cow. This next question comes from Noah, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, does soup make you pee? Stop asking me about my arc, Noah."
Yeah.
That probably gets old.
I bet it does.
Does soup make you pee, John?
Yes.
Correct. Moving on. This next question comes from Nika, who asks, "Dear Hank and John."
Yeah.
"My fiance is confused about electricity. He calls it electricery." Agreed.
I love the idea of a conspiracy theorist who thinks that electricity isn't real. You know, that like there's some other, like it's the government doing it with government thoughts.
Yeah.
What could electricity be?
Well,
that isn't real. All right,
we'll continue.
Keep going.
His main issue is, how does electricity know to go down a wire that's connected to a circuit, but never go on down the wire that's a dead end? How does it know not to travel into a dead end?
Mm-hmm.
Does it send scouts? Please help.
Yeah.
Electric or treats?
Yeah.
Nika, what do you got? You got anything here? I got a little metaphor that I think will be helpful.
You go.
No, you come. Let's see what you got.
All right. Well, I want another tingling. So I was hoping that you'd go on one of your long science rambles. Well, and I could get myself a cocktail that's just rum and this soda called Ting.
Yeah. It's
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to do that. You go on one of your science rants, big guy.
So here's the situation. Imagine any time that people are confused about electricity, or I'm confused about electricity, I tend to think to myself, okay, it's all just like water. So there's pipes, and there's stuff flowing through the pipes, and the stuff flowing through the pipes is water. Now, it's kind of this. So imagine, for example, that if you put a little bit of water into a pipe that's already full of water, the little bit of water at the front isn't the water that's coming out of the back. So if you put like new electricity into a wire, the electrons that are coming in the back, like the ones you just created, aren't the ones that are coming out of the other end. They're getting pushed through the whole system out the other end. And in this same way, you can imagine if you have a pipe that leads to nothing, that pipe is full of electrons and they're not going anywhere. And so there's no like, so if an electron tries to get in there, it's already full. Now, if something connects to a circuit at the end of that pipe, then suddenly those electrons will have somewhere to go and those new electrons will flow in to take up the space and they'll be pushing. But if there's no place for it to go, if there's no like outlet for the electrons to flow out of, then it doesn't matter how much pressure you push on the end of that pipe. You can't put water through it. You can't put electrons through it because it's already full of water. And no matter how hard you push, you can't get any more in. Now, the moment you give any opportunity for some electrons to come out the other end, if you have a bunch of pressure, they will pop out the other end for sure, which is why you don't want to stick a fork into an electric socket. But that is how I imagine it.
Okay.
And it is always very helpful. It's also sort of like helpful in terms of like how wide the pipe is, how much, you know, resistance inside of the pipe, how fast the current is flowing through the pipe. Has analogs. And it sort of, you know, sometimes people will come at you because this isn't a perfect metaphor. And of course it's not. But it's a lot more helpful than any other metaphor I've ever used to help me understand the sort of day-to-day of how electricity works.
Great. Well, I thought that was a good answer, and it was long enough for me to get my drink.
John has discovered on this trip just how much I need bifocals, and he will not let me live it down.
It's hilarious. Like, I mean, I need bifocals. My doctor was like, hey, you need bifocals, and I was like, you shut your mouth.
My doctor, on the other hand, was like, you can go another 5 years.
No, you will not. You can't even go another 5 minutes. Like,
I'm like just trying to do everything.
Hank, he either has to have the phone so far away from his body that like his arm can barely get there.
It's not
or he
true.
Has to have it like right underneath his nose.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's okay. It's just weird to me that my younger brother would need bifocals. Like, I'm worried about what that implies for me.
There's so many science questions. Do you want to try another science question?
Yeah, I'm good at them.
Okay, this one's from Angela, who asks, Dear Hank and John, I recently purchased a heating pad at CVS.
Yeah.
The safety instructions state, do not use in an oxygen atmosphere.
That's a great plan.
Does this mean that the product is not safe for use on Earth?
Oh, no, we don't have an oxygen atmosphere.
Bringing my heating pad to Mars, but not until after 2026. Angela, it's not 2026, is it?
I think it's 2027.
Oh, that's so soon.
I know, but don't worry, Elon's on it. Yeah, so the reason we don't live in an oxygen atmosphere, most of air is nitrogen.
Yeah.
It's weird to understand, this is something Hank's been writing a lot about, it's weird to understand that air is made out of stuff, that you can feel it a little bit here in the Caribbean, in the that tropics. Air is made out of stuff. Like, yeah. But usually it's hard to remember that air is made out of stuff, but most of the stuff is nitrogen.
Until you stick your head out of the window of a moving car.
That's true, then you feel it.
Boom.
Most of the air is nitrogen. And if you are in a pure oxygen environment, really hot things that may have a spark associated with them are real bad.
Right. Yeah. The flammability, like things burn much more easily in a pure oxygen atmosphere, and you are likely to have a lot of oxygen around in certain medical situations. But usually, it's not going to be a pure oxygen atmosphere. It's going to be there is pure oxygen that's going straight into the nose,
right,
or nose and mouth of the person who needs the oxygen,
right,
and that helps, you know, get the oxygen in the blood.
Your heating pad is good, man.
Yeah, Your heating pad is good, man.
Yeah.
But you got to watch out if you're ever inside of a Martian habitat and you start noticing that they're increasing the oxygen levels, because that might mean that the people who are trying to put down your rebellion are about to burn down your entire habitat.
That is really, really true.
Watch out for that.
I've noticed that in Red Mars.
I'm not sure which one it was, but yeah, it was one of them.
All right.
Good job.
Thanks. I was gonna guess. Amazing, John. I was gonna guess Dune, but then I remembered that's not on Mars. That's on a fake Mars.
Yeah,
this is on some kind of knockoff imitation Mars.
Oh god! So, John, finally, we have one that you are qualified for. It's from Cly.
I thought I did a good job with that
it's
oxygen.
Not Cly at all? It's Kyle.
Okay, yeah, Kyle.
This is not
Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Who asks, dear Hank and John, how many pancakes are required for a stack?
Well, I mean, I am a little bit qualified. When I worked at Steak and Shake, the minimum definition of a stack was 3 pancakes.
Okay.
Now, I think that...
It's definitely not one.
It's definitely not one, and it's not 4. You do not need 4 pancakes to make a stack.
I feel like it might be 6.
No, almost no one can eat 6 normal-sized pancakes. Right. They can eat 6 IHOP pancakes,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, little skinny ones.
But I'm talking about a proper pancake, a Steak and Shake pancake.
Those are big boys.
And I think 3 is the most you would ever want to eat.
Yeah.
And so I think it has to be 3. And then if you have 5, 6, 8 stacks, that's all fine. Anything up that way is fine. I don't think 2 pancakes is a stack.
Is it a little weird that pancakes are their own food meal when they are just the simplest bread?
No.
Because I don't think to myself ever, it's breakfast. I'm going to have 3 slices of bread.
I think that almost every morning.
Okay, that's true.
But yeah.
You gotta toast them then.
Yeah, but the pancake thing, so it is a little weird. Pancakes are weird because, like, we also treat them as one thing when they could be anything, right? Like, there's no reason you can have sweet pancakes, you can have savory pancakes, you can put meat in your pancakes, you know? Maddie would.
Eggs! You could put crushed up eggshell.
Crushed up eggshells in your
pancakes. Use that egg water for
just
it.
Just like Maddie. and then just kind of like put them in the egg water just for a minute before you put them on the frying pan. Just give them a little soggy.
See what happens. Do you think 2 might be a stack?
I don't think 2 is a stack.
I don't know. It feels like they're stacked.
No.
One is stacked on the other.
No, I think why not ask the experts? And in this case, that's Steak and Shake. And in this case, they say 3. Which reminds me that today's podcast is brought to you by Steak and Shake, my first employer.
Already at the sponsors.
We're already at the sponsors.
This podcast is also brought to you by Electron Pipes. Electron Pipes.
Yeah.
Delivering heat and light and entertainment to your home. Since 19-something.
Or 18-something, if you were...
Right, yeah.
Just...
In the sort of early part of the bell curve.
Yeah, or you happen to get hit by lightning one afternoon, have your house hit by lightning.
And then you're like, wow, it's warmer. On fire.
That was both good and bad. Also, today's podcast is, of course, brought to you by Maddie's Egg Water. Mm-hmm. Maddie's Egg Water. It's ready for coffee.
Ooh, no. And this podcast is brought to you by Ting, the Jamaican soda.
It's so good.
It's, as far as I can tell, grapefruit flavored, but only the good parts.
It really is. It's just like...
Only the good parts of the grapefruit.
It's kind of actually surprising to me that Ting hasn't taken off elsewhere.
I think that it might kind of require it to be warm.
Maybe.
But there are warm
places.
People
used to say that about Mountain Dew. When I was a kid, people said that about Mountain Dew. They'd be like, oh, Mountain Dew. But this Ting, it's pretty perfect.
It's good. I like it a lot. It's bottled by PepsiCo, according to the bottle.
Yeah.
I already looked into it. Because you know how Ryan Reynolds bought Aviation Gin because he liked it so much?
Yeah, did you think about buying Ting?
I was like, maybe I could buy Ting.
I mean, yeah.
I can't.
One is a little more colonialist than the other.
A good point. I think there's a number of problems with this idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea. I mean, I don't know that we want to get in the sugar water business, Hank.
Just one more sponsor.
Oh, right. Sorry. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Vlogbrothers beer. Vlogbrothers beer.
No.
Thrilling new beverage. Well, I think we should. I think we should be like Ryan Reynolds and get in. No, it's got to be something. What's something classy like Ryan Reynolds has?
Oh,
beer. Right.
What about like? What about like a beer that's not around anymore that we've lost to time?
Oh, there's one. They make one in Indiana called Champagne Velvet that's made from the first ever beer recipe.
Yeah, Champagne Velvet.
Yeah.
Like from Mesopotamia?
No, from like 1908. I guess the first ever first Indiana ever beer recipe.
In 1908.
No. You want to try to like resurrect Mesopotamian...
No, I bet it's not great.
Booze?
I bet it's not great.
I kind of like that idea, though. Just to like a liquor, yeah, like a historical liquor.
Just go talk to all those mead people. They can't shut up about it.
Bead people?
Mead.
Mead. Mead.
Yeah.
Yes. I do love a mead.
This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Thrive Market. T-H-R-I-V-E is how that's spelled. You may or may not be like me. Here's a thing I know about myself. If I put it in my house, I'm going to eat it fast, in no time flat. And so I like to shop in a way that makes sure that the kinds of foods that are in my home are the kinds of food that should be in my body. You know what helps out with that is having a go-to grocery and household essentials thing that I can, that just like pops up on my phone and it's like, hey, do you want to order your monthly thing? And I'm like, yeah. And then I pick the things that I want in my house and I don't pick the things that I don't want in my house in the moments when I actually have self-control, which is not when I'm standing in front of the pantry. Thrive Market's super great, whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, which I absolutely am. And those, the pretzel bites with the peanut butter inside of them, to make my wife so happy. She's like, I can finally have peanut butter pretzels again after developing a gluten allergy. It's fantastic. And as a Thrive Market member, you save money on every single grocery order. On average, you can save over 30% each time. They even have a little deals page that changes like every day, and you can go and see it and see like, maybe I want to try out some new fun thing. They got all kinds of brands on their website. They got Amy's, Banza, Burt's Bees. They got Mike's Hot Honey, Oatly Olipop, Poppy, Salt. When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/dearhank for 30% off your first order plus a $60 gift. That's Thrive Market, T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/dearhank. And they have told me to say it one final time, even though at this point it seems like a lot. ThriveMarket.com/DearHank.
So we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. But one thing you don't want to compromise on is your health. When it comes to your health, there should be no compromising. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines or their family group chat or the crossword puzzle just because they're available right now, or take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. You can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. So go to ZocDoc.com/DearHank and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/DearHank. ZocDoc.com/DearHank.
This next question comes from Louise, who asks, Dear Hank and John, another one you're qualified for.
Mm-hmm.
As I write to you, I'm watching...
It's hard not to be insulted by your definition of what I'm qualified for.
It's a bunch of science ones, and then how many pancakes in a stack? No, you'll like this one. As I write to you, I'm watching the Wrexham versus Sheffield United game
sure.
on TV. Paul Mullins has just scored, so Wrexham is now up 3-2 with less than 4 minutes to go.
Oh, God, heartbreak is incoming.
Well, a tie is not so bad. As the BBC keeps insisting on showing Ryan Reynolds' reactions. IDK, I guess he's objectively handsome or something. I occasionally see John standing beside him. And I just gotta know, John, what are you doing with your hair? Are you actually trying to pull it out? It looks like you're trying to shampoo it incredibly vigorously. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the match, Pumpkins and Penguins. Louise!
I saw this one in the inbox when I started, and I was like, I need that one.
That is hilarious.
I need that one to come through, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I do it when I am experiencing amazement.
Oh, yeah?
So every time that, the only time the BBC, like, cut, or when I'm experiencing disappointment, right? And yeah, so the only, yeah. And I was obviously rooting for Wrexham in that game. Great David versus Goliath story. Mm-hmm. And so every time they cut to Ryan Reynolds, I was in the background, like, pulling my hair in amazement. I could not believe that Wrexham was scoring against a side that's going to be in the Premier League next year. I was genuinely shocked. Uh-huh. And, yeah, but then I did see some of the resulting memes. And I don't know. I just, I was just doing it, like, right before. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's nice that John has such a visible tell.
Yeah, it's not an affectation.
He wears it on the sleeve.
I do. I'm not a great actor. I'm not very good at that card game BS.
That's right. You know, John and I, one thing you'll know about us is that we won't ever get into professional gambling. We're not like, I think I know how we're going to make it work.
I think the reason I wouldn't get into professional gambling isn't because I'm not like vulnerable to it, because I totally am.
Yeah.
I think the reason is that I can't handle it. I can't.
Absolutely not.
I can't handle the swings and roundabouts. I can barely handle sports when there's no gambling involved at all.
John, can I tell you a story?
Sure.
So for about 4-5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I've had an eye twitch.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought to myself, I'm going to go on this trip, mm-hmm. on this vacation, my brother and sister-in-law and my wife, and it's going to be relaxing. And I'm not going to let myself hope. I'm not going to let myself hope mm-hmm. that it's going to fix my eye twitch. Because mm-hmm. that's, you know, things are complicated.
Yeah.
But I currently can't make my eye twitch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about an eye twitch. Once it's gone, you, like, can't make it come back.
Yeah.
But then once it's there, you can't make it go away.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad. And you know what?
We'll see. I'm sure it'll be back tomorrow.
I'm sure it'll be back tomorrow, but we should...
Yeah.
We should lean into this experience. I've been telling you, Hank, and I know we got families and jobs and everything, man. Like, I get that. I love our kids. But, like, we could make a go of it here.
Yeah.
You know?
We're somewhere.
I don't know. I want to be right here. I like this house.
This square foot of water.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really do. I just, like, yesterday I said to Sarah, I was like, hey, I mean, I love Indianapolis. I'm a big civic booster and everything, but, like, it's not as good as this.
I'm sure it's got its difficulties as well.
Of course, but like, but the weather's better.
There's so much winter left.
There's so much, exactly. We're gonna
however
go back to
however much winter you've got left. We've got another month.
It's true. It's true, man.
Oh Lord. All right, John. I got another question that you're qualified for.
Great.
Dear Hank and John, I am a waitress at a restaurant that is famously known to stand at the table and grate cheese on all your food.
Oh.
Sometimes these people will go absolutely ham, and I will have to awkwardly stand above them in silence for a solid 60 seconds while churning copious amounts of cheese onto all of their food. What are some things I could talk about to break the silence? Any dubious advice is greatly, pun intended, appreciated. Not summer, winter, spring, or fall.
Autumn.
This you are fall, though.
This is a great question.
It's so good.
But I think the answer is that you're doing the right thing, which is trying to make them as uncomfortable as possible with this abuse of your time and cheese grater. Because you have to be nice to the customer.
Yeah, you have to be nice to the customer.
And that's your job as a server. But you don't have to imply that it's okay for a full minute and a half of cheese grating to happen.
Yeah.
Because the cheese grating is mm-hmm. like, it's like a shtick. You just texted me.
No, I didn't.
Well, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You definitely did. Check your own text messages.
Oh, I did.
You weren't listening to me so intensely. I knew you were uh-huhing me in the way that you're sitting no, next to me.
It's very weird. I you're didn't even know I texted.
Okay, this gets to something important. Hank and I are convinced that Mark Zuckerberg is way wrong about the metaverse.
All these metaverse people, they're so excited about something that already happened.
That's the thing. Like, we think that these metaverse people have the right instinct, but they've drawn the wrong conclusion.
Yeah.
We can already enter the metaverse, and it takes us about 3 seconds, however long Hank and I were just talking.
Maybe 0.5.
When Hank was like,
I was in the metaverse.
In the metaverse.
Yeah.
He literally wasn't here.
Uh-huh. I was no longer in my physical body.
And so the question is, does Mark Zuckerberg really think that we need to put on a pair of goggles to experience that when it's like, already happening?
Do these people have any exposure to theory of mind? Do they understand that consciousness doesn't exist, and that it can exit from the sensorial experience of the normal body and leave it behind, not like perpetually or even always, but like
sometimes, yeah.
And I go, man, I'm in the metaverse all the fucking time. My phone tells me every day how long I've been in the metaverse, or every week.
Right.
And, you know, it's a very intense experience.
Yeah, like
already.
When you're in TikTok, it feels like you're just like bobbing on the ocean.
Yeah, man.
Just swimming like a dolphin. There's this Annie Dillard essay where she writes about how humans spend all their sleeping lives and much of their waking ones in this sort of like insensate nebulousness.
Yeah.
And that's what the metaverse is. And I just don't need, and maybe someday I will, maybe that's the 10-year bet, is like people are going to want to go all in on the metaverse. But like right now I can go to the metaverse whenever I want for however long I want.
With no barrier of entry or exit.
And then just leave it whenever I need to.
Except for my cognitive barrier of exit, which is very high. Because I desperately don't want to, my mind is like, that all seems very hard out there. Don't leave.
Yeah. I even earlier today I was like,
whoa, you've been scrolling for way too long.
Earlier today, I was like, I was scrolling and I was thinking about how there are these two emails I have to answer today. And I was like, oh, that's going to be later. I don't know. I'm very conflicted about it, Hank.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think we enter the metaverse easier than ever. I don't think that we need like fancy tools to enter the metaverse, because I don't think entering the metaverse in a deeper way actually is deeper.
Well, I think that there are benefits in certain circumstances for sure.
Yeah.
And like to each their own. I just don't think that it's going to be broadly anywhere near as mass adopted as just the smartphone.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll be like,
so here's an example.
Okay.
There used to be a time before pants.
Yes.
And then we had pants.
Right.
And it may have been that the people who made pants were like, what's next? Fur leg coverings.
Mm.
But it was mostly pants.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there were pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there were cuffs. And maybe there was a hammer holder
but
sometimes.
There were
zippers and clasps.
Pants. Yeah.
But the thing was pants.
Right.
I think that a lot of people think that this, like, what's after the smartphone? But I think the smartphone is pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, the pants will continue to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's a thing after pants.
I think that there is probably not a thing after pants, except that the there's like also shirts. So I don't think there's a thing coming after the smartphone. I think that that is a mistake.
There's lots of other things, but yeah, the idea that that the smartphone, that like the iPod happened and then the smartphone happened and then the Apple Watch and the earbuds, the earbuds happened.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be something else.
Right.
I think that no, of all of those things, the only thing that really happened
was the phone.
Is very small, screen-filled personal devices.
Yeah.
And the iWatch is just another one of those.
Yeah.
The Apple Watch or whatever it's called. And it's not, and it's also not that interesting and like not that widely adopted. It's just another watch.
Right.
It is itself a watch.
Yeah.
Which is something that we've had.
So I just, I think that they can't get out of their minds the idea that there is some other thing that's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
When really only one thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very big and very impactful.
Right.
And it's, and like, it was a very, very good idea and a very, you know, powerful culmination of technologies. But we're not going to have another one of those. That's what I think. I think that 500 years from now, people are going to be using smartphones.
I mean, I think...
Fingers crossed.
I was going to say this.
unless
that's a long time,
unless
buddy.
There's some other good reason
that's
why that wouldn't
happen. That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're almost done.
Do you want to come make a podcast with us?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, right now? There's no pressure.
Okay. We'll wrap up here. We'll move to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay. It's time to transition to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon because Sarah just got back to the house.
What happened in Wimbledon news, John?
Well, as everybody made fun of me for, I watched the Wimbledon game from the beach.
Yeah.
On Saturday morning, and it was, we were up against the third place team in the league, Carlisle United, and oh my God, it was the ugliest, most disjointed game of soccer. The great AFC Wimbledon commentator, Mikey T, at one point said, I don't think anybody's going to be buying the deluxe edition 2 DVD set of this game.
Bit of a mess.
It was hideous, but we drew 0-0. And you know what? If that's what we do for the rest of the season, if we just make good teams look terrible and like have absolutely no hope of scoring goals, that's fine.
All right. They're a good team?
Yeah, they were Carlisle United. They're in third place. So,
right.
I mean, we're still, you know, 4 or 5 points out of the playoffs. So we'll see. But we're also well clear of relegation.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Well, this week in Mars news, NASA is going to be partnering with Blue Origin on an upcoming mission. They're going to be studying Mars's magnetosphere together.
Mm.
It's called ESCAPADE.
Oh,
which
is it?
Every letter is capitalized. So
of
do you want to venture what the first word might be?
Elevated.
Escape.
Space.
No, it's just the ES is from escape.
Oh, great.
Oh, no, the ES and P. And A are all from escape.
Okay, this is my favorite kind of NASA abbreviation.
So now you got a P.
So wait, the E, the S.
ESCA is all from escape.
The C, the A are all from escape.
Uh-huh.
And then there's P-E.
P-A.
P-A.
D-E.
Escapade. P-A. Uh-huh. So is this P-A?
Or no, this all the rest of them are just one word.
Okay, escape... Padea?
Plasma.
Wait, you said all the rest of them are just one word. I thought it had to be a word that began P-A-D-E.
No.
And I was like, there's not very many words.
One word each letter,
like
sorry. One word
escape,
each letter.
Plasma.
Uh-huh.
Alien.
Acceleration.
Dismal.
Dynamics.
Enjoyment.
Explorers. And it will involve sending 2 spacecrafts to orbit Mars.
I couldn't think of a word that started with E.
Enjoyment. They're going
to
study how solar winds might have thinned out the planet's atmosphere a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm worried about that for us.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta pay attention. It's going to help scientists understand more about how Mars lost all of its water.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing to try and figure out. And a few companies were considered to be involved with the mission, and NASA picked Blue Origin to help with the launch spacecraft at the end of 2024 on their new Glenn rocket. That's Glenn with 4 N's.
Is it literally?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was a Project Horizon joke.
I know. I was like, man, I didn't know Jeff Bezos was a P4A supporter. It'd be nice if he made a donation here and there.
I feel like just getting the digital download bundle is a little light for him, honestly. You could do a little more lifting than that, my friend.
Yeah. Well, Hank
Bezos,
thank you for the news from Mars. Thank you for potting with me.
I just saw a rat.
I just saw something, but I think it might have been a bird.
Oh, okay.
It was up there pretty high.
Yeah, they live in the palm trees. That's where the rats love to live.
Okay. Well, cool. Thanks for potting with me. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tuna Medish.
It's produced by Rosianna Halls Rojas.
Our head of communications is Brooke Shotwell.
Our editorial assistant is Debuki Chakravarti. The music you're hearing now at the beginning of the podcast is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.